The scripture reading today is from Joshua 5, verses 9 through 12. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 189. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, and so the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. While the people of Israel were encamped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at the ending in the plains of Jericho. And on the morning row after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased on the morrow, and when they ate of the produce of the land, the people of Israel had manna no more, but ate the fruit of the land of Canaan that year."
In the show, the musical Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye and his wife, at one point, looking at the girls that they had raised and the sons that they had raised, began to ask the question in song, "Is this the little girl I carried? Is this the little boy at play?" They were discovering both the bitter and the sweet of being a parent, that children grow up, they develop minds of their own and often make choices that we never thought they would make. In a world full of change, Tevye wanted tradition and yet managed to still grow and go with the change. That's what's happening to the people of God as they come to this Passover meal in our story today. 40 years before, on another night of Passover in Egypt, all prepared to make a run for it under the leadership of Moses and the guidance of God, they shared a Passover, the first Passover meal, and thus began a journey exiting Egypt and the enslavement and the impoverishment and the slavery that they experienced there, and made a mad dash into the wilderness. God's care for the people as they moved into the wilderness was enormous. He was birthing a new people. And like an attentive parent, he was there in every moment during the day as a cloud of smoke and during the night as a pillar of fire, leading them, guiding them, assuring them, a presence that they began to count on. As they began to despair of having anything to eat, so much so that they wanted to return to Egypt because they could eat the same old nonsense that they had been eating, God provided them food. And as they became parched with thirst, God provided them water. And as God formed them into a new family, a new people of God, God gave them community rules, family laws. And for 40 years, the people journeyed in the wilderness, sometimes obediently, sometimes disobediently, practicing what God was teaching them in these laws, receiving sometimes a harsh correction for their misdeeds. But all in all, God was watching over them oh so very carefully, oh so tenderly, with an eye to this Passover 40 years later. We hear that the Passover is held. And then finally we hear that God has withdrawn the manna, and it is time for them to eat of the fruit of the land. Something is happening in this journey that they are taking. Things are changing. The rules that they had learned to live by seem to be transformed. The way of life that they had for 40 years was taking on a different tone. They were coming of age, growing up. Where was that enslaved people that God had led out of Egypt? Well, they're still there. But they were a people who had come to learn, maybe unaware, that they could count on God, that they could take care of themselves and trust God to provide what they needed to do so, that they had the community rules written down, maybe in their head, maybe in their heart, and certainly on the tablets of stone that they carried with them everywhere they went. They had the presence of God in that tabernacle and in that ark, but it wasn't quite the same as it was before. They're growing up as God's children and as God's people, God's family. Growing up is something that all of us must do. There is, of course, an intense moment or time in our life when we grow up through our childhood, our adolescence, our teenage years, hopefully growing into the person that can take care of themselves. My friend Glenn, in raising his son, was having some difficulty. His son was fighting him at every turn, rebelling and seeking independence from his parents. He wanted to do what he wanted to do and to be responsible for himself. And he fought his father every inch of the way. And finally, Glenn said to him, "Son, do you ever want to move out and be on your own?" And his son said, "Yes, of course I do." Well, Glenn said, "So do I want you to get out and be on your own. But I want you to do it so you have a chance of success. When I lay down the law, so to speak, it's not because you can't do it or shouldn't do it or that I want you to stay and I want to keep you as a child. It's because I want you to grow up and get out of my house." The son, seeing the intensity of his father's desire, matched his own intensity to be free, actually became somewhat cooperative and diligent in the lessons his father applied. We are called to grow up. You and I are not the Israelites. We're called to be a different kind of family, but a family no less, and a family of God. And we have some of the same things that God offered to the Israelites, perhaps in a little different form. We have the Word of God in Scripture and creation and in Jesus. Especially in Jesus, we have that presence of God, that gift of God, that Spirit of God that leads and guides us night and day. We have commandments. The Ten Commandments are well and good, but they have become encapsulated in the words that we read in this morning's opening prayer and opening things: to love God and to love our neighbor. And we have a community that is on an Exodus journey. Maybe we're not enslaved in Egypt, but we are enslaved to what goes on in our culture. We are enslaved to selfishness, greed, laziness, bitterness, hatred, violence. We are in our own Egypt in many ways. And we cry out, "Free us, O Lord, can you not see our misery?" God indeed sees our misery and seeks us to come out, to follow him. And through the waters of baptism we go, putting behind us the old life and entering into a new life. And we have a time of preparation where we learn about what it means to be part of God's family. We learn what we believe. We learn what we should do. We practice what we should do. We begin to think how it is that we're going to be a part of this family called the church. How are we going to be effective, spiritual, self-motivating, self-sufficient disciples, members of God's family? Well, it's a long and hard process. As any parent can tell you, the child is never born with all they need to know. Indeed, we do the best we can, and we begin to watch them as they get to that moment when they're going to separate from us, sometimes amazed at the things that they do so wonderfully, and sometimes terrified by what faces them and whether we have prepared them well. Scouting is one of the ways in which we are able, in an intentional and systemic way, enter into the lives of young men, and today especially young ladies, and give them the kind of confidence, the kind of awareness, the kind of knowledge, the kind of experiences that prepare them for an effective adult life. It's what we also seek to do in Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, any other educational opportunity that we have, to prepare young people, our children, our teens, our young adults, to effectively live in a difficult, terrifying, and yet gratifying and wonderful world. To be successful, not so much in their material things, but their encounters with other people, their willingness to serve, their willingness to love even those who are unlovable. These are the kind of principles that we seek to instill through scouting, through schooling in church, through our family work. We do not want our children to stay at home with us forever. That creates monsters, both in ourselves and in our children. Rather, it is for us to help them grow up, to be on their own, to be effective adults in a difficult world. It is interesting, though, for Israel and for ourselves, that we are so dependent at our birth. We are so dependent in our childhood and our teens, and we work and strive towards self-sufficiency, self-definition, a self that is adult and mature and capable and confident. But one of the signs that we are capable and confident and adult is that we then begin to live a life of interdependence, understanding that we still need each other, that we still depend on each other, but in a more equal, mutual, and life-giving way. It is, in fact, the kind of love that is between brothers and sisters, children of God. Sometimes in the activities that we do, we forget the importance of what we are doing. When we support scouts, when we teach Sunday school, when we participate in vacation Bible school, when we ourselves continue to be learners, seeking God's word and scripture, seeking to be faithful and righteous to God's law, trusting in God even when all evidence suggests that that's folly, then we are doing precisely what God needs to be done in this world. I am thankful for the program of scouting, for the young ladies and the women who participate in it, for those of us who as fathers have participated as leaders, and for those who would do anything to help these young people grow into effective adults. Let us pray. O Lord, for this church and their support of scouting, I give you thanks. Help us to be ever mindful of what it is at stake as we help raise our children. Help us to instruct them in the ways of God. Help us to instruct them in the laws of God. Help us to instruct them that they may be dependent upon you and you only. And in so doing, Lord, help us to learn those very same things and strengthen them in us as well, that we may all become, as you wish us to be, the family of God under the Lordship of Jesus in the glorified and visible kingdom of God. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.